Everybody read the minutes of the last meeting?
Absolutely.
Representative Wardlaw, you're the first one that spoke. Would you like to move approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chair, so moved.
All those in favor of the minutes as presented? Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for future reference, if I could be Deborah in the minutes, that would be appreciated.
Pardon? Yeah. I didn't.
Deborah, if I could be listed as Deborah in the minutes, that would okay. be greatly appreciated.
So noted.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other concerns with the minutes? Those will be corrected for these as well.
Okay.
No other concerns? All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The minutes are adopted. Members, we had have two bills before the committee, and I worked very hard. I pushed the staff. I cracked the whip to try to get one before committee today because we really want to use all our committee time. But it was the author that let us down, and I want to make note of that. It was Representative Vandeveer, and when he comes, make sure you ask for cookies because he missed his first hearing. Right? Or catch him in the hall and forewarn him that if he wants to get his bill through, he's going to have to make up for lost committee time. Representative Lenning, you didn't... Here, I didn't see it earlier. Okay. So all we have today is to go over the rules again. We'd like to adopt them, and that's really the only business we have today. We've learned some new things. I'm going to go to the presenter's table and present Representative Lenning. You want to...
Take the helm. Yeah. Representative Olson, welcome back to your committee.
Thank you.
You may proceed.
Did everyone see the email we sent out as a trial run? I had a lot of encouraging comments about what I'm proposing to do here with rules, but we only had two responses. So let me go through the rules and present to you what I think we could do on rule number 3. It should be in your packet. It's not a numbered document, but the title of it is Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs. And Mr. Chair, we'll delete the and Metropolitan Affairs because they did change the name of this committee. It's just now local government. 84th session, Representative Mark Olson, Chair. And Mr. Chair, I would like to move these rules, number 1 through 11, forgetting the second page, number 12. I'll address that in a minute. But I'd like to move numbers 1 through 11 for adoption.
Okay.
And I'll speak to, first of all, Rule 1, 2, 4, 5, 10, and 11. For those of you who have been here before, they're pretty much the same as most other committees, addressing committee hearings, ordinary stuff, member attendance, witness testimony, informational handouts. 10 is per diem requests, and committee discussion protocol is number 11. That's all pretty much the same kind of rules in every committee. And I'll highlight those so that you know that. And then looking at number 6, that again is similar to most other committees, but I would just want to state the intent here. That has to do with amendments. The amendments are to be presented to committee administrator 24 or more hours in advance. They can be offered on a shorter notice, but will be accepted at the discretion of the chair or the committee. I don't have a problem with late amendments. The real objective here is the long amendments, lengthy amendments. There's a good possibility they wouldn't be accepted if they come in less than the 24 hours. I know we can learn things from our discussion and see things as we move along, so I personally am not one that believes we should restrict amendments somewhat on the fly, as long as they're short and those kinds of things that constitute something that's we've just discovered and need to address. The objective, I think, of this rule that exists in most committees now is to address the lengthy amendments coming in late and members really don't have a chance to review it, and the 24-hour notice requirement of a committee hearing on a bill. So I referenced that one specifically just to define how I'm going to look at that. And then the germaneness issue, I pretty much followed the House rules on that, but I did include something that I did not see in a lot of other committee rules, and that is that amendments that greatly expand the scope of the bill or address subjects outside the jurisdiction of the committee are not germane. Now, that latter part is actually in House rules. And I want to reference that because I find that most every committee doesn't follow it. And I'm going to make a note of that when we work on House rules, because if we're not going to follow it, we shouldn't have it in here. So I'm bringing it to your attention. It's here. If you don't think we should have it, I'm sitting here and not in the chair, Scott, because I want these rules to be your rules. I'm not meaning to dictate these, and I'm asking you to adopt the rules that you want me to follow as a chair. Chair rulings. This is one I've added, never seen before. Although I know it's part of the process and it's a right of every member of this committee to make a motion to override the ruling of a chair. Any ruling, even if it involves the testimony, if I feel that we have to cut off the time for someone testifying because we're running out of time, if the committee feels that we need more time on that bill, you can make that motion. Now, one of the reasons why I think a lot of these rules are here is because historically, if we don't have some restrictions, we can end up lengthening the debate and not getting a lot of work done. If I feel that's happening, it's my intention to just simply not allow a lot of debate on the motions to override my ruling or to take other action. I mentioned last time we talked about rules that it is the right of every member of a committee, regardless of committee, to make a motion to hear a bill. That's not been something that I was ever told before, but I discovered it through my conversations with previous Chief Clerk Ed Burdick. That's always been a right. It's not something we've really been told, and I think it's a right that every member of every committee should know. The whole point here is that, as I stated last time, just for the members who weren't here last time, there was about six of you. The whole point here is that it's not my desire to be a chair that simply dictates an agenda, and I'm here to facilitate the process and make sure it's fair for everybody, and everybody has equal access to it. The consent calendar bills, we've added one provision there. We're asking with this rule that if you feel your bill is going to be a consent calendar bill, you make a note of that on the hearing request so that members will know it ahead of time and will have a lot more scrutiny on which bills get on the consent calendar, and they'll be less likely to be taken off the consent calendar when we get to the House floor. In other words, if it's truly a consent calendar bill, then we want to put it there. But if it really isn't and somebody wants it there just to speed the process up for that bill, we want to have a little more oversight on that and try to prevent that from happening. Lastly, I'm going to go to rule number 3, which we spoke at length about last time. And if members want me to cover some of the things I covered last time, I certainly can. But for time's sake, I'm going to basically define what we're doing briefly and identify some additional things that have come to us through other people on staff and in the administration. I have Katie Engler here with, I think, Department of Administration. She's going to testify to some concerns that we need to look at. But first of all, let's just look at rule number 3. It is written somewhat vague. It does not provide all the details of what I'm proposing to do. And as I stated last time, that's for the reasons of maintaining some flexibility to work with this process, because it's a new process that I'm proposing. And that is, for those of you who weren't here before, to allow every member the opportunity to set priorities and establish which bills will get a hearing. Instead of one member of the committee deciding which bills will get a hearing, I want to make it available for all members of the committee to be a part of that process. You don't have to be, but you certainly can be, and I thought that everybody would want to be. At least that was the verbal response I had, but we're going to try to find out what the concerns are with the technology and see why members did not respond. So basically, it's the spreadsheet being sent to you, listing all the bills that have hearing requests. You prioritize them by number, email them back to Mary Cummins, our committee administrator, and we will total those numbers up, and that will set the agenda. It's as simple as that. And at this time, I'd like to ask Katie Engler to come forward. We have some concerns that were raised. The question was asked last time whether or not the data practices law applies. It's my understanding it does not, but there are some other concerns that Ms. Engler has become aware of that I'll have her speak to at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Welcome, Ms. Engler. And
Mr. Chair, for the record and members of the committee, my name is Katie Engler. I'm with the Department of Administration. And if I could, I have something for the page to hand out. Oh, no page.
There's a substitute page coming.
What's being distributed, just to address the first issue that Chairman Olson raised with you, there's selective provisions from the Data Practices Act. My understanding is that there were some concerns about whether or not this particular law applies to the data collected, used, and maintained by this committee. And what I've really done is chosen the items of definition from that law to show you that the legislature is not covered by the Data Practices Act. And so there, you may have rules of the House that govern how you handle your data, but this particular law does not apply.
Questions for Ms. Engler?
Mr. Chair, my understanding of the other issue was I was asked the question whether or not the spreadsheets that members would be completing and returning to your committee administrator could be destroyed once the results were tabulated. And in order to answer that question, I went to the records management statute, which is in Chapter 138, and did some research, and it appears from what I saw in that particular statute that records of the legislature are covered, which means that in order for official records of the legislature to be disposed of, there needs to be what's called an approved records retention schedule, which really is a plan for destruction of records and data in a government office. The process to obtain a schedule is not complicated, but on doing some research, I found that the House of Representatives does not have a records retention schedule that's been approved that covers the type of data that you're talking about or the type of records. And so my suggestion to Chairman Olson was that that may be something that ought to be done in order for you to follow the process that I understand is being proposed, which would be to destroy individual members' indicia of ranking as soon as the aggregate had been created.
Members, yeah. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Olson.
What we've basically discovered is that for those of you who have been here before and served on a finance committee, and this is where I got this idea. I mean, I was on a finance committee and we were given a spreadsheet and told the number and prioritize what we basically discovered is all those records weren't supposed to be destroyed, because that represents an act of the committee when that's done by every member and not done as each respective caucus. If you don't have the rules in front of you, and we don't have the page here, but Dave, do you know how to turn this on so we can get this up on the screen? Rule 6.21 and Rule 6.24 and House Rules address this a little bit as well in a related matter. The point here is that we've discovered we have, in order to do this process as I presented earlier this week, we have to have an approved records retention schedule. Now, I understand from a couple members here that they tried to respond to our email. I'm just going to ask if there are a number of you who did try and it just failed.
I tried. And
let's have a show of hands. How many tried it? Okay, almost everybody did then. What we've also discovered is that each computer is set up a little differently. So when I showed you how mine worked last week, it appears that that's not how yours works. So we have some logistics to work out. What I want to appeal to you with today is an understanding of what we're trying to do and a commitment that I'm going to try to do everything we can to meet the goal to establish a process whereby you, the members of this committee, will be a part of setting the agenda. Now, I already stated when we started the meeting here today that I tried to get a hearing on a bill today as well to use up our committee time. As I previously stated, it's my desire, and I think it's very important for this committee, that we not allow this process to hold us up and to not lose time. That's why I feel we have to maintain some flexibility. We had two bills before the committee. Only one had a hearing request. I wasn't about to wait for this process to determine which bill would get a hearing because there's only one. So I said, let's go. And yet it didn't work out because we couldn't get the testifiers here. Otherwise, we'd have had a hearing on a bill today and got one done. So with that, I'm just going to leave it for questions. It's my desire to go forward with the rules as it's written. It basically says the intent of what we're trying to do, that each member will be a part of this decision-making process, and the concerns that we're becoming aware of, we'll have to address and work it out, make sure that all the computers are set up the same way, and we'll get this down and we'll get rolling. But in the meantime, we'll be putting bills on the schedule, as we do traditionally, to make sure we don't lose any committee time. And if there's no objection to that, I would, after hearing questions, I'll renew my motion for the rules as they're written, notwithstanding any possible amendments from all of you.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Normally, I wouldn't be in the business of offering a solution to a problem as a freshman, but I can actually, because my background is technology, I can explain what the problem is if the committee would be so inclined.
Please.
What happens is when a detachment is emailed to someone, it opens it up as a cached file. Now, I believe what the problem was is that if you open up that file, modify it, and try to send it back, it's using two different interpretations of the file. What needs to happen is you need to open it, actually save it to your hard drive, then make the modifications, save it a second time, then attach this newly saved file to your email and send it out. Again, normally I would not be in the business of offering solutions, but I am a network engineer, so I thought I'd just enlighten the committee as to that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
Is it Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo.
Garofalo. Begging your pardon. I Olson, that's all I know. Easy ones. I'm sorry, Garofalo. I'll get this right. I hope you will take a different tack in this committee. If you got ideas, we want to hear them, freshman or not. Please understand that. That's for everybody. And thank you for that tip. The only thing I'm puzzled by, Representative Garofalo, is that it worked on my computer. And I didn't save it to my hard drive, and it worked well.
Representative Garofalo.
Well, not to do my troubleshooting process in front of the committee, but when the file, did you originate the file on your computer? Did you create it? Or did you actually receive the email from someone else and modify it?
Mr. Chair, I believe I've done it both ways, and we tried one where I originated the document, I sent it to Mary Cummins, and we also did a couple where she sent it to me, and then I responded.
Representative Garofalo.
I promise I'll stop talking after this. there's a possibility that within group-wise, there's some configuration settings that are done on a caucus-level setting, and that maybe perhaps some are set to automatically save versus cache it. But
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Olson.
It appears that we can work this out in any case and get all the computers set so it will work. And I'm encouraged to see how many of you tried. I apologize for the frustration. And hopefully we'll have it worked out on the next round. Any other questions?
I'm wondering if the other part of the problem was some of us are waiting to get an upgrade on our laptops, and I wonder if that has something to do with this as well. Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, because I just got my computer back for an upgrade. And then the icon came on and said, you're ready for an upgrade. So that tells me to.
Representative Blancheski.
Thank you, Chair Lanning. And Representative Olson, I think I'm going to just bring mine filled out to Mary. Just check them on a piece of paper and hand them to her, because Mary was really responsive to me and trying to help me figure it out, and I wasn't successful, although I was working from home, so I thought maybe that was the problem. But I wanted to raise a different issue with you, and Representative Olson, I'm going to vote for your rules, you know, whether they're amended or not, and that is because many of us in this room were at the two-day, you know, learn how to not bicker so much and get along meetings that we had. And one of the things that came across bipartisanly in both houses was that people have been around a little bit. It's all about relationships, and it is. And I know, Representative Olson, that you've been very fair, and I don't think there's anybody in the legislature who wouldn't think that about you. So I know your intent is good, and I'll support it. I'm not sure I get it, quite frankly. But I did have a question for you, and there's a former chair of mine in the room, Representative Rhodes, former Representative Rhodes, and he was one of my first chairs and also very fair. And one thing he did that was very unique, and I don't know if it's actually a rule, he's the only chair I've ever had who did this, and what he did was he said, if we have a vote and you need to be there, be somewhere else, you know, because we all know that at times there's conflicts, he'd say, just let me know and I'll hold the vote till you get back to the room. And that was very impressive for legislators. They knew if a constituent came in the room and their LA came and got them and said, can you say hi to these people for 10 minutes? You could do that because you weren't going to get caught because the vote wouldn't be taken intentionally when a couple people left the room. And I guess I'm not asking for it to be in rule, but I'm just asking you to maybe consider that. It gave people the freedom to know that the committee wasn't going to try to catch them. And I always thought it was really a great thing that that committee did, and I've never had a committee do it since.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question about number 7, the germaneness. We all know that sometimes there is a skeleton bill introduced with the intent that it will be the vehicle for a big bill or for something. My question is, given this, it would dramatically expand the scope of a bill. In the event that was the case, how would you deal with such an issue, given the rule we're proposing here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, generally when those bills are introduced as a skeleton bill, carrier pigeon, wherever you want to call them, the actual action occurs on the floor. It doesn't generally occur here, but there's two rules to address your concern. If there's some surprise bill or amendment that's going to get adopted onto a skeleton bill, we have to have a 24-hour notice under Rule 6. But as far as the germaneness issue goes, I would rule that non-germane. And the reason I put number 8 in there is I want to encourage the committee members to override me if you disagree with me. I don't like this cultural dynamic of fear of the chair. I don't bite. and I don't want to bite. I want this to be an honest process. I've struggled with the way we operate around here sometimes. I've struggled with being a part of it. I've struggled with the peer pressure of being a part of some of what we do around here. And I don't want to take any part of that as a chair. That's the reason I decided to finally take a chair spot. I wanted to try to do some things differently that I wanted to see changed when I wasn't in the chair spot. So I welcome those rulings. They're in my rules. And even if this process that we've proposed here to set the agenda, if it doesn't seem to work well for a couple issues and you feel you need to make a motion to bring one to the surface, I'd appreciate it if you wait towards the end of a hearing so we don't disrupt anything or in between a couple bills. And be prepared to not debate it too long, because that's adding to our agenda and it's going to take committee time. But I'd certainly welcome those kinds of motions.
Representative Cornish.
Well, I guess you just talked about this. I apologize for missing the first meeting and the glitch, but I'm just kind of worried about the workload, I guess, myself. Now we're going to have to look at every bill, and then if go or we just had to lobby you whether we're going to get a hearing or not. Now we got to lobby the whole committee, and then we have to fill out a form and send in. So it's increasing my workload quite a bit, but it's just a concern, so not an objection, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cornish,
Representative Wilson,
that's a very those are very insightful comments, and with power comes responsibility. You're right. You used to have to lobby the chair. And I stated it previously, you may not have seen this too much yet, but I've seen it a lot, where a chair will get up on the House floor and be extremely influential because everybody's afraid to go against the chair. I don't think that's a healthy culture. I mean, can you imagine the body voting for all my bills? You're all like that, right? Yeah, I'd like that. No. I don't think that's a healthy situation for this institution. I see this institution as an institution that is fumbling. There's a lot of strain in it, a lot of problems. And I think this culture that we deal with here, the cultural process we deal with here, comes from things like our rules, certain provisions in our rules. And that culture, I mean, last year, the most important bill to me failed because a chair got up and went against it, and the members that were emphatically for it changed their mind because of that chair. Totally unrelated to the issue. And I mean totally unrelated to the issue. They were still supportive afterwards, just couldn't go against the chair. I don't think that's right. That's not honoring the institution, that's not honoring the process. It just doesn't work. It shouldn't work that way. That's what I'm trying to change. Now, I could go the other way and make it easier to pass my bills, maybe. I don't know. I just don't think it's right, and I don't want any part of it. So, yeah, it could mean more work for you, but you don't have to do this. If you want to take part in it, you can. If you don't, that's fine. You just missed your chance to influence what gets a hearing. But bear in mind now, any other member who's not on this committee will look to you and recognize you have some influence. And you might get their support. So we're spreading the power out. We're spreading that power of influence out. We're supposed to be equally representing, have the equal capacity to represent our constituents. And that's what I'm striving for.
Representative Paymark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I apologize for not being here at the last, I was at a different committee meeting, Mr. Chair, but I share some of the concerns that Representative Cornish raised. I see problems not only in workload relative to lobbying members of this committee to get your own bill heard, but now it seems like, especially in local government, you're going to have lobbyists coming and wanting our time to see if we'll vote to get a bill prioritized in the committee. You know, it may seem okay now, but our calendars are going to get jam-packed here in the next couple of weeks. And I guess I'd be open to trying it in deference to cooperation. But I wonder if you would consider revisiting the rules if it appears that this isn't going to work or something, you know, because I just, it seems problematic to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paymar, I appreciate your comments. Again, very insightful. Let's go back to 1992, before we had a lot of changes with the campaign finance law and before we had a number of other changes with regard to ethics. And I remember the load and how much lobbyists came to each member's office to lobby them. Now that we have a campaign finance law that limits all of us as individual members to $100 in a non-election year and about $500 in an election year, but yet the caucus leaders have absolutely no limits, we see very few lobbyists relative to what I remember in 1992, and our caucus leaders get the big checks and a lot of lobbyists. But I don't think that fares well in the institution. I don't think that is healthy for the institution. And while this is more work, again, you don't have to take part in it. If your time does not permit, you can pass. It's like passing on a vote. And other members will take part. And I certainly will know that nobody can handle the workload, and it isn't working if nobody's responding to Mary Cummins. And we can certainly bring rules up again. That's not a problem at all. But I'd like to give it a try, and I appreciate members' willingness to do that.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and Representative Olson. I just want to reiterate that I think this is a very significant reform of the committee process, and I applaud you and will support these rules. But I do share the same concern that Representative Paymar has, and I hope that we can have, number one, sort of a set of criteria about whether this is working or not that we can discuss together. And number two, that I think we ought to set some sort of very specific timeline for us to revisit this, at least not necessarily the rules as a whole, but the prioritization and hearing process. Maybe we've had a chance over 2 to 3 weeks from now to really check in and see, you know, if this is working. You know, one criteria would be how many of us are really participating, because if the decisions are just being made by the few that are participating, then it's not necessarily reform, although I do accept and share the responsibility in making this work, that we all have to make this work and pay attention and take the process seriously. So I hope that, Mr. Chair, you'll consider, you know, maybe 3 weeks from now, I think, would be a fair amount of time to see whether this is really working, that we can just check in and if we need to make mid-course corrections, make them. If we need to just go back to another system, make those. But I'm willing to give this a try. I think that the committee process is in need of reform in this institution, and this is a good way to address some of the problems. So thank you, and I'll support the rules. But I would really like to reiterate that we do need, I think, sooner than later to evaluate how this is working.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Point very well taken.
Representative Cornish.
Yes.
Yes. Representative Markwart.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in relation to some of the comments made, I want to applaud you, Representative Olson, because this is some major stuff from what I've seen in just the 4 short years that I've been here. And in a democracy is hard work. And when you have a democracy, it means the people are working. And when you have a dictatorship, the people are not working, and one person's doing all the work. So I do know it's going to be a little more work, but I do think it's also the right way to go. And I think that's when democracy works, is when everyone's working and not just a few. So I'm going to support this. And again, thank you for this approach.
Thank you.
Further questions or discussion on the rules 1 through 11? If not, Representative Olson, you wish to renew your motion?
Before I do, Mr. Chair, I actually have one question. With all these comments and the fact that I've already presented this as, I'm a little apprehensive to say this because my intention is to follow in every way that I can the priorities that you set. Would it be helpful to the committee members if we actually put it in the rules that this is advisory? Well, it means what I've said, in that if you guys establish, if the committee establishes House File 17 is the first bill to be heard, and House File 32 is the second bill to be heard, and I go to both those authors and tell them that they're on the agenda, but neither one can be ready, I have the discretion, because we've written this in such a way that we're just defining intent, I have the discretion as the chair to go to the next one or to bring another one in. I've stated the flexibility. I haven't written it as flexible as saying it's advisory. It is my intention to follow exactly. In fact, I'll make the records available to any one of you who come to look. It's my intention to follow your priorities. I've been thinking about this process for a couple years, and your thoughts are right on. I'm encouraged that you see this is going to be more work. I'm encouraged that you see it involves some responsibility. But as Representative Marquardt said, that's really the way this institution was intended to run. It was not intended to be despotic. It's fascinating to me. We weren't able to get this on so I could show you these rules, but it's really fascinating to me that we have problems with law and records because we're all making a decision, but yet one member making that decision, there's no problem with records. So with less accountability, we don't even have to have a record. With more accountability, we up now?
Yes.
Okay. This is what Ms. Engler was referring to, Rule 6.24, part of the basis for that law, I believe. The chair of a standing committee must cause a committee record to be kept. Well, when the chair dictates an agenda for which bills get a hearing, there's no record kept. Nothing to keep. But as soon as they expand that to allow all of you to take part in that, suddenly we have some issues that involve accountability. I found that somewhat intriguing to realize that with you having more rights to influence the process, we have more issues of accountability. And the other one is 6.21. There we go. Everything's backwards. Members, meetings of the House committees must be open to the public, except for executive sessions that the Committee on Ethics considers necessary. So when one member of this committee, namely the chair, dictates the agenda, it doesn't have to be open to the public. Yet there's a lot less accountability there. There seems to be a reversal here. We're quite a bit off course from what I think really was intended by was established in providing an environment of equal representation. And for those of you who weren't here last week, I'll just state for the record that when I went into House rules all the way back to territorial days, I found that when bills were introduced from territorial days all the way to the early 60s, the question could be asked, shall the bill be rejected? In fact, if objection was made, it was required that the question was asked, shall the bill be rejected, to the full House. Then in the early 60s, that rule was changed so that no objection could be made. So no longer did any member have a right to object to one member introducing a bill, which seems to have some merit. But then, by default, who dictates the agenda of what gets a hearing? That was the downside of that change. That's what I'm trying to address. And we discovered that by going into the history of House rules and finding those changes. So I'll end my thoughts and renew my motion, and would certainly welcome comments as we progress or digress, however you might want to look at it as time goes on. I appreciate your willingness to work with me on this, and thank you for the discussion.
So the motion is to adopt rules 1 through 11. Further discussion? All in favor of adopting those set of rules, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Rules are adopted. Thank you, Representative Olson, for breaking some new ground.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Any other discussion? Questions? That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
There's no further question or discussion. The meeting is adjourned.